Welcome everyone to Dr. Jack's Lantern, The Light to a Better Life. I am Donna Smith and I am a longtime resident of Central Florida with a 501c3 that helps stressed individuals become entrepreneurs. I'm here today with Leon Mauser, who is also a longtime resident of Florida, the father of three beautiful daughters and three grandchildren. Leon is a close friend of Dr. Jack Gresham, and the two of us will be taking you on a journey through Dr. Jack's writings. Now, Dr. Jack Gresham is a veteran, a doctor, a husband, and a father, and has spent decades, tens of years, studying the Bible and sharing that knowledge with others. It was obviously a calling from God that caused him to create this immense work. And through these podcasts of Dr. Jack's Lantern, The Light to a Better Life, we will be sharing his work with you. The Bible is a unique combination of history and messaging for all of us to live by. Each week, we hope to share this history and messages in a way that makes the Bible a working part of each of our daily lives. In our podcast episodes, we'll be reminding you that you can find complete information about past and upcoming podcasts, our local involvement, and general information on our website. That's drjackslantern.com. We feel the combination of Dr. Jack's 30-plus years of developing a new look at the Bible, which is rooted in everyday life more than any others we know of, combined with today's technology, will bring out a new look at the Bible's magic, relating it to our lives. Our goal is to get youth more involved and maybe even develop those who wish to become teachers themselves. We hope young adults find Dr. Jack's database is attractive enough to use it to teach and instruct their peers while they are learning. It's an ambitious program, but we feel it's worth it and necessary to contribute to making our society a better place. We believe Dr. Jack Gresham has created something unique that will survive the test of time. So we are very happy to have this opportunity of bringing to you Dr. Jack's Lantern for all to hear and read. Now, before we start, Leon, would you lead us in a short prayer?
Certainly. Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day. We pray that your presence here with us today will open our minds and our hearts to your teachings so we can align our life with you. Lord, we need to allow us to teach those who are listening to hear us. Thank you for all of your presence with us today. In Christ's name I pray.
Amen.
Thank you, Donna. I'm Leon Mauser, like she had mentioned, and I want to congratulate you for being here today. And like Donna had said, a combination of today's newest technology, along with a 30-year-plus of Dr. Jack's study of the Bible's teachings, and we hope to bring you a program which you can learn and learn to teach others to. You know, Donna, I'm not young enough to know everything, but one thing is certain. You'll be able to grow deeper in your faith with us as we unfold these teachings in the light to a better life. Now, Dr. Jack expresses that our spiritual basis for Bible study is no better than stated in three questions. Number one, who am I? Number two, what am I supposed to do or not do? And number three, where am I going? Today we're going to look at number one, of course. What is my identity? Who am I? You know, your identity is made up of your belief system. And a belief system is just your set of principles, and it helps you interpret what happens to you in your daily life. You know, you've been developing your belief system all your life through your experiences and also what others tell you to be true. Now, as a simple example for, to begin with, one of your first experiences in the development of your belief system would be taking your first unencumbered step as a baby. What a confidence in that proud experience. From there, you know that you're going to be running pretty soon. So the other way that we develop our belief system is accepting what others tell us to be true. And that makes up a part of it. Of course, our parents play a major role in developing our belief system. They give us the love and the support to guide us in the development and the basic beliefs of how we interpret things and what happens to us in our daily lives. Some call it having filters. Let me explain having filters so you understand. Here's an example. If you get a reaction from a doorbell, you push the button and the bell rings immediately. Now, if you want to get a reaction from a person, when you ask a question, that must go through that person's belief system before you get the answer. And that's known as filtering the information.
You know, Leon, sometimes I'll ask someone, what's your belief system? And most of the time, people have to really stop and think about it before they even start to answer. But then mostly they'll give me a list of some examples that most people hold today as their beliefs, and including that, you know, murder is wrong, love is good, you should be nice, you know, you're nice to people, giving is better than receiving. They'll make that kind of list. And I was reminded that in Hebrews, in the Bible, which is what we're, you know, talking about with God, in Hebrews 10, chapter 10, verse 16, he says, this is the covenant I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them upon their minds. So the belief system is actually here with God. It's in our souls and our hearts. He wrote it.
That's right, Donna. And these are all the really beautiful ways that we can align ourselves with God. You know, as practicing Christians, our major framework of our belief system is the Ten Commandments.
Well, let me break in here and remind people where the Ten Commandments are and what they are, in case a lot of people are forgetting because they're starting to try and take it out of our systems here. The Ten Commandments, as most people know, was given to Moses by God. And Moses, most of the part of reading about Moses is in Exodus. So I always remember that the Ten Commandments are double. There's 10. So Exodus 20 is where you can find the Ten Commandments. And he says, the first of these commandments is, then God delivered all these commandments. I, the Lord, am your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, that place of slavery. You shall not have other gods beside me. That's the first one. The second one, he says, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave unpunished him who takes his name in vain. It's probably a whole session we can do just on that one, right, Leon?
For sure, we could do that.
The third, remember to keep holy the Sabbath day. 6 days you'll labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
The third one is honor your father and your mother, that you will have long life in the land with which the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not kill. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. I'm seeing a lot of that on TV lately. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife. That's the Ten Commandments.
Well, you know, it's interesting about it. The first five tell you what you should do, and the last five tell you what you shouldn't do. So, you know, just by following these commandments, that aligns us with God.
What do you mean by being aligned with God, in alignment with God? How do you do that, Leon? What are you saying?
Well, let me take an example. You know, when I went off to college, my dad wanted to buy me a car, a heavy used car, but it had to be dependable. So what he did is he took it for a test drive. Now, he didn't kick the tires, but he did take it for a test drive, and I watched what he was doing. He felt the vibration, if there was any, in the steering wheel. And then when he hit the brakes, he wanted to find out whether or not that car pulled to the left or to the right. Now, what would happen if that car would have been out of alignment? You know, while driving or braking, the car would pull to the left or right. It's going off its path. And the direction of, you could say, its future is certain to be a problem. It may be unrecognizable right now, Donna, but down in the future, it's going to be a problem if we don't align ourselves with God. And to live every day aligned with God, that's a sure way to obtain spiritual sanctification. It's learning the wisdom of the Bible to develop a belief system for a loving relationship with Him.
Yeah, that's very good. Yes, the Bible teachings alone can bring true freedom. The Bible provides reliable philosophy on which people to build their life today. And God wants us to have a loving relationship with Him. So
that's right, Donna. You know, gathering with your friends to study His Word, that's one of the greatest ways to show your love for Him and gain true wisdom from His Word. You know, Donna, scientists say the most complicated object in the universe is sitting on top of our shoulders. Our brain contains 100 billion neurons connected to another 10,000 neurons. I wonder how much neurons are in your harmony with your Creator.
Well, God did make us in His image, so He certainly has a reason for giving us all that brain capacity, Leon. As we know, our worth is God-given and unique to us. It says in Psalms 139, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made."
Wow, that's great, Donna. If we are fearfully and wonderfully made, we must recognize that our value, it doesn't come from external sources. It doesn't come from popularity. It doesn't come from grades. Value, of course, as Donna said, it comes from God. Your value comes from God. And your belief system in relation to God has a lot to do with how happy or unhappy you live your life. Here's the topic to deal with. How does your belief system react when you're being offended? I mean, if someone treats you maliciously or verbally abuses you, now that's reason to be offended. But if you're offended by someone speaking the truth, well, that's your problem. To be offended has a purpose, and that purpose is God's way of teaching us a lesson. You know, there's no way to go through life without being offended, so you better prepare your belief system for it.
Yeah, yes, that's true. And you know, people need to remember that if someone tries to attack your belief system, we should never apologize for being Christian, for being having our Christian morality. The press last 40 plus years has really everybody trying to make us apologize, not wanting to for us to express our morality and making us squash it down. No one has the power over us unless we allow it. And I think we've been allowing it a lot. You know, in fact, just the other day, I was reminding a neighbor. And I was explaining to them that, you know, we feel like we don't have control over most things, but that's not really true. We always have control over how we react to things, our feelings. And being in alignment with God helps us figure out how we should react, how we should, we do have control. And that's what we have to remember. Our belief system, never apologize for it. Make it rooted in God, and then we will know how we're supposed to react to things. And it will give us that control if they'll just remember that.
That's right, Donna. We have more control sometimes than we think we do. And, you know, as far as controlling your reactions to people's, say someone gets hurt and what are you going to do? How are you going to react to that? Some people think that they find that as very awkward. Let's just say your close friend receives some bad news. How are you going to react to it? Are you going to be able to distinguish empathy from sympathy through your belief system? And if you do, does it make a difference? You know, empathy is showing how much compassion and understanding we can give another person. Sympathy is more of a feeling of pity for another person. It involves understanding someone else's emotions, but from your own perspective. Let's say a person who finds out that you were in a car accident resulting in a few bruised ribs. My experience with the sympathizer's reaction would be, "Whoa, that's too bad." But you know, I knew a guy who had bruised ribs from a fall, and he got over it. So will you. Now, the reaction from someone who empathizes with you would be more like, "Whoa, that must hurt. Is there anything I can do to help you feel better?" That's an attempt to feel another's pain. Which do you feel is the response God wants to give?
Yes, Leon. And, you know, because the difference between empathy and sympathy is a good thing to know and understand when we react with people and help them out, we actually put a link on drjacklantern.com that quickly explains, and it is a very short video. It does it with animation, and it shows you the difference between empathy and sympathy. It also emphasizes that we're never to use those two words at least in showing either sympathy or empathy. So I highly recommend anyone who wants to kind of get an understanding of that and help them so that, again, they're aligning their belief systems with God and helping other people to go to the website, drjacklantern.com, and just watch that quick video.
And it's quite specific, and you'll be able to understand it a lot better. You know, another topic that has to do with our belief system is the words we use. You know, Donna, because I was born when the earth was covered with ferns, I had the opportunity to notice generations have their own slang words. Now, you know, it's fine to identify with your peers using slang. That's sort of an acceptance. For instance, back in my day, when we thought something was exceptional or awesome, we'd say, "That's groovy." Today, when they think something's exceptional or awesome, they say, "That's slay." And words like that are pretty much good to use, but I think one of the words that I've seen over and over again is used too much is the word perfect. Now, I'm standing in my doctor's office in front of the receptionist, and she asked me to spell my name, so I do. Then she says, "Perfect." And then I give her my address, and then she says, "Perfect." And then I tell her my phone number, and then she says, "Perfect." Now, by this time, I'm thinking, what am I doing, taking a test? I don't know about this receptionist, Donna, but I'll tell you what, I would think that maybe she still got her participation trophy when she was 7 years old. But, you know, another thing, Donna, which is really important, and I hear too much also. If you offend someone, never say, "My bad." I might hear that too much. You know, that's not an apology. That's just admitting that you're wrong. Remember, God wants you to stay in alignment with Him in your everyday thinking. So apologize by saying, "I'm sorry." It'll help you in your spiritual journey of sanctification. Now, that's another topic we're going to cover in Dr. Jack's Life to a Better Life.
In a future session. Yeah, that's a good one. And, you know, we probably can go in on another future session a little bit more about, you know, we talk about the words and how when you use the words that your peers are using, that kind of gives you an acceptance within the peers. You know, our belief system is definitely created, another one of our filters, is from our peers. And when we think about what our peers are looking at, you know, we got the social media that's going on and TV. And I'm remembering how back in, you know, the day when TVs were first coming out and films, my parents people idolized the movie stars. Mm-hmm. And that really, you know, you look at movie stars and other peers on TV and things, and you start realizing that your belief system is actually changing because of those filters of other people. And I think that's why it's really so important for us to make sure people are starting to address, look inside themselves and realize God wrote the law, okay, on our souls, on our hearts. Go back to figuring out what that is. It's in the Bible. He over and over again. I mean, my goodness. 2 Timothy talks about how we're supposed to live. You know, so many places, especially in the New Testament, when Jesus tries to relate it in a very relatable way. But we need to very much, what you said, align with what God wants us to do. The 10 Commandments are just the basic law, and it goes beyond that in how we really do that, treat each other. I think, Jesus, didn't he, you know, they said, which are the best of the most important commandments? Remember that, Leon?
Yes.
What did he say?
He said it was love your God as number one.
Mm-hmm. And number
two. Don't put any false idols in front of you. And that's the problem we have today, Donna. We have this will worship society where people, whatever they will to be true, they'll worship it. And that is so wrong.
Yeah. Yes, that's just amazing. You know, it's very simple. Love each other as we want to be loved. You know, I remember going to a training class and they said, no, love someone else the way they want to be treated, not necessarily the way you want to be treated. And I thought, well, that sounds like another one of those examples of twisting something, just twisting something one way. One word, the Bible shows us that even Jesus was tempted by the devil. And we talk about, you use that example of alignment. Remember how we need to align with God's word. Twisting it just a little bit, just being off of a small percentage. In fact, I'll use the airplane example. You know, when the devil changed God's word, just one little word. Well, look at it in geometry, going back to everybody should remember 1 degree or 2 degrees when you look on the geometry. That's not much. That's not really off of the line too much. But over a distance time, like we were talking about with the alignment in our future, over that time, that alignment, that one little degree that you took it off will change your future dramatically. Leon, tell us, if you're taking a plane from New York to California, you're going to LA and you're off 2 degrees. That's not much, but where do you think you'll end up?
Well, let's see, Don. With my engineering degree, I figured we'd end up somewhere in Vancouver.
And that's a long way from LA. So yeah. We really need to remember to align our belief system with God. It is there in the Bible. And I'd like to even quote a message from Dr. Jack Lantern's manuscript. He said, God loves us all. He does not love all the things we do. He hates sin. And it is our choice to either accept or reject his love. So aligning with God's direction will show that we are accepting God and we love him. So that is one of the things that we're trying to make people really think about. We need to align ourselves with God. If you have any questions about that, open the Bible. It's all there.
And we have a spot on our website for asking questions also, don't we?
Yes. Thank you for reminding me about that. Yes, we do. So if people have questions, we'd love to address it on our podcast here. So once again, it's drjackslantern.com. So feel free to look and you can see what we're going to do in the future. You can listen to past podcasts and see where we're going with this. How about if we close in a prayer? So Lord, we give you thanks for your word and the gift of Christ, our Redeemer. We are indeed blessed by your presence in our lives and this group with a spirit of service. We ask again your continued blessing on each of us, especially those young people now finding their way. We hope they someday turn into leaders using your word for guidance. We pray again for our country, its churches, and schools. In these days of social upheaval, please keep us all centered in your faith and find more answers every day in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. What a beautiful closing prayer. Thank you, Donna.
Thank you, Leon. And we'll see you next week. And we hope everybody joins us.
Have a blessed week. We'll see you. Bye.
Bye-bye.